Again, a greeting in the name of Christ. I'm glad that you're here because I believe God is here and I believe God wants to speak to us. Oh, he's spoken to me in my closet this afternoon. God has been real. As we depart, I know this is the last evening of this series of meetings. And as we depart, I don't know if our path will ever cross again. I don't know many things in our future. I don't know many things or anything in your future. But I know one thing, and that's my message this evening. The title of my message this evening is Somewhere Forever. Somewhere Forever. I used to be an EMT, and I was out with my children out in the yard one day, and my pager went off. And the sheriff's office said, there's a man down on Township Road 352. And that's the road that tees into our road where we lived, right at our lane. I quick told the children that I'm going. I ran in, got my radio and got my equipment and ran out to my little pickup and took off up the road. And went into this drive where this residence was that they had paged for the ambulance. When I got there, I told them that I'm on scene, and I didn't know where this was, where this man was down. I couldn't find him. And then I saw a pickup and went down to that shed and walked inside, and there was my neighbor. And his son was there, and I said, where is he? And he showed me where he was, and I ran over to him with my medical bag, and I went down to him. And I said, Dan. You know, Dan would always talk to me. We talked about the Lord many times. He would always talk. He was a friendly neighbor. He was a man in our church. At one time, we were in the same church, and you know, he would like to talk about God. But you know, I went down there and he was laying there face down and I said, Dan. But you know, he didn't respond. I wondered, Dan, where are you? He was somewhere. Somewhere. I quick asked the son, I said, do you want me to do CPR? I radioed in and told him we have a code. And then I asked, do you want me to do CPR? He was in shock. He said, I don't know. I said, if we start CPR, we need to continue till we get to the hospital. What do you think? And he was bleeding from his head. He said, I don't know. Well, I started CPR. But you know what? Dan left. But you know, Dan is somewhere forever. He's still somewhere. Somewhere. Sometime later, I was in bed one night, 3 o'clock in the morning, and my pager went off, and I had my pager right by my bedside. And when that thing went beep, 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 it woke me up. I jumped out of bed. And it said, there's a man down on Township Road 310. Well, that's the road we live on. Told us where it's at. And I got dressed, got my radio, told him I'm heading direct. When I drove in, quick rushed over the hill and got to the lane and the little drive. And when I drove in, I heard someone screaming in the house. And here his wife was on the phone. And I heard her say, oh, here they come. She had the door open, and I ran in with my bag. And she said, and I said, where is he? And she said, in the bedroom. Well, I didn't know where the bedroom, but she showed me the bedroom. She was crying. I walked in there, and there was a 6-foot-some man. I knew this man. He was my neighbor, lived yet less than a mile away. He was a man that didn't live for God. He was a man that was divorced and now remarried. He was a man that was cold towards God. And I walked in there and I tried to talk to him. I'm going to use a different name tonight. I talked to John and I said, John, he didn't respond. He was cyanotic, blue, and he was in a waterbed. And of course, you can't do CPR in a waterbed. And I got him out. He was probably 270, 80 pounds. Got him on the floor and I started, radioed in, told him I'm doing CPR. And I started CPR. But you know, I wondered, John, where are you? He didn't talk. He talked to me. When we met, he'd wave. When we'd meet, he'd talk to me. Pretty soon the ambulance came, and one of the brethren in our congregation was on the ambulance that night. And we kept working on him, kept our CPR up and loaded him up, and him and I were in the back. And you know what? My heart went out because I knew one thing. He's heading into eternity, and he's not right with God. Because you're not right with God when you live in adultery. Because they won't inherit the kingdom of God. And there I was in the back, and we were working on him. We shocked him. We tried to get his heart, put a heart monitor on, but there was not a lot of activity, a little bit of V-fib. But, you know, we shocked him, tried to get him back. And on the way to the hospital, a number of times I remember saying, John, are you with us? Are you here? Oh, I wondered, where is John? Where is John? We finally got him to the hospital. They kept working on him, and finally they got a heartbeat back. But you know, he had enough damage in his brain that he left. His wife told us that night he was down in his den. He was watching television until late at night, and she went to bed, and then about 1 o'clock he came to bed. And then she heard about around 3 o'clock, she heard a strange sound come from him. But you know what? John is somewhere forever. He's gone. But you know, he's somewhere. And every one of us here tonight is going to be somewhere forever. I want us to think about that. Turn with me to James chapter 4. I'm going to look at a scripture, and then I want to go to Matthew 25 real quick and look at a scripture here. James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Matthew 25. Jesus here speaking, verse 31 to 34. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Somewhere forever. Think about it. If every human soul will be somewhere forever, then we need to think about it. If every person born will be somewhere forever, we need to think about it. I want you to think with me tonight. Think about it. If every living person could be killed without warning, could fall over and never talk again, just like Dan did, never said a word again, then we need to think about this. If we could go to church the last time without knowing it, we need to think about it. You know, if we could come home like John did from his work that day and never go again, we need to think about it. My friends, tonight, there is probably no message I preach that is more important than the one I'm preaching tonight. And it gives me great burden because we are going to be somewhere forever. Somewhere forever. We want to look at that. You know, if we could leave this world without warning or time to say goodbye, to kiss our little children, or to say goodbye to my wife or to my husband or to my children, my youth, we need to think about it. Think about it. We need to think about it. Somewhere forever. How long is forever? And where is forever? How will it look there forever? And how will it feel there forever? And who will be there forever? If I don't like it there, can I come back? Or do I have to stay forever? Think about it. I want to look at two questions tonight. Question number one is, how long is forever? And question number two is, where is forever? Where is forever? Eternity forever. Well, how long is forever? You know, forever is a long, long time. Forever is a trillion years from now, but how long is that? You know, we haven't even hardly heard that word trillion till in the last maybe 5 years when the American debt passed over that mark. And so now they talk about $1 trillion in debt. And now it's like 7 trillion or 8 or 9. Well, let me explain something, and maybe this helps you to understand how long eternity is, how long this forever is, where we are going to be somewhere forever. I want to break it down to you for you tonight. How long ago do you think a million seconds ago was? If you back up by the seconds to a million seconds ago, when were a million seconds ago? That was 12 days ago. Well, where is a billion seconds ago? How long was that a billion seconds ago? A billion seconds ago happened 30 years ago. 30 years ago. But when was a trillion seconds ago? A trillion seconds ago. And remember, we're only talking about seconds. We're not talking about days. We're not talking about hours. We're not talking about months. We're not talking about years. A trillion seconds ago was 30,000 years before Christ came. And eternity and forever is, this is only seconds. This is only a trillion seconds. And you know, eternity is a trillion years. And when that trillion years is over, then there's another trillion years. And when that is finished, there'll be another trillion years. And it's forever and ever. And let me just say this tonight. A trillion years is a long time to be wrong. It's a long time to be somewhere that you can't get out and you don't know and you'll never be able to survive it. You can't survive and you can't get out. You're in this awful place, or maybe in this beautiful place. How long is forever? Well, it's a trillion years. Not 30,000 years ago before Christ. But it's even more than that. That's only seconds. Now take that and take it into minutes, and take it into hours, and take it into days, and take it into weeks, and take it into months, and into years. And you know, tonight, that's a long, long time. Somewhere we will be forever. Somewhere forever. Forever is trillions and trillions and trillions and eons of eternity. And you know, as we sit here tonight, there are living souls in that faraway, long time place, somewhere forever. Now let me ask this question, and we want to look at this question. Where is forever? Where is forever? Where is Dan? Where is John? Somewhere forever. There are only two places the Bible tells us that are someplace forever, somewhere forever. One is a city. It's a beautiful place. The other one is a lake. It's a vast lake. It's a big lake. It's a lake of fire. We must now look at where people will be somewhere forever. Turn with me to Revelation 21. I want to look at a place. I don't know all and how this will be, but there's a little glimpse that we get here in Revelation 21. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And for the sake of time, I want to go down to verse 21. In verse 12, it tells us that there will be, there in this city, in this place, there's 12 gates. And now it speaks about the gates in verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, I know that there's various opinions as it relates to eschatology. I'm not going there, but I want to share with you the beautiful city, something about a beautiful city, a beautiful location, a beautiful place. But you notice something in verse 27, it says that we need to prepare for it. There shall in no wise enter into it. Only those things, if we have in our hearts tonight something that defileth, if God would take us into heaven, the way that we are tonight, would we defile it? God's word says, no one that defiles is going to be there. But those that have their name in the Lamb's book of life. I want to look at this city just briefly. This is a beautiful place, and I want to refer to it tonight as heaven. I don't know. There's various opinions. When we leave this world, we go to paradise. Some believe various things. I'm just going to focus on how it will be. Beautiful city. This is a long home. Our forever home. If those of us that are saved tonight, those of us, this is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And I believe every child of God that's sitting here tonight, if you don't get homesick for this city, then you don't have a close enough relationship with Jesus Christ. We get homesick. It's a long home, the Bible tells us. It's an everlasting home. There's everlasting joy in this place. I want to look inside the gate. I want to show you tonight seven no mores about this place. One of the things that we read in verse 4 of chapter 21 is there will be no grieve here. There's no grieve. No grieve. Grieve will be a stranger in this land. 12 gates to the city, but they won't open to grief. Maybe you know what it is to lose loved ones. I wonder how many of you have, let me ask you, how many of you have immediate family loved ones that left this world? Many of you. Look at this scene here. If those loved ones are saved, this is a beautiful thing. I take great courage as I read this. I've gone in my life, I've gone through many, many very difficult times in my serving the Lord. The second no more that we read about is also in verse 4. There will be no tears. Tears will not stain the streets of this city. There's no tears in this place. Oh, there's something beautiful about this. You know, we have a lot of tears. I was at a coping with death seminar last Friday. I had a message there last Friday night. My message was the dark night of the soul. And you know, there was a lot of tears. I saw a lot of people crying there that night. There was a man there that his wife passed on 3 weeks earlier. He couldn't even introduce himself. Oh, a lot of tears. But you know, if we're saved, if we're born again, and we make it to this beautiful heaven, when Jesus sees us coming, you know what he's going to do? He's going to do something so beautiful. What is he going to do? He's going to wipe our tears away. They're not just going to leave us. He's going to come with a very personal touch. The Bible says here that he shall wipe away our tears. What a father to a child. That's our Lord. Oh, there's been a constant stream of tears flowing down the cheeks of saints, dropping into the sands of time all over the world. There's a lot of pain today in the body of Christ across the world. There's a lot of persecution. There's more persecution today than there was in the communist years. There's a lot of killings. There's a lot of people that are struggling. A lot of saints. No doubt you know what it is. I believe every child of God is going to go through times when their pillow is going to get wet. Maybe out in the haymow, maybe behind that tree. But there's going to be a lot of tears, and there will be a lot of tears on our journey towards heaven. We have a lot of burdens. But you know, when we get there, Jesus is going to wipe them away. Oh, that's a beautiful place. I long for that place. Tears will stop on this side of the gate. God will wipe them away. Number 3, there will be no crying. The heart will never break anymore. I've seen some crying here this week. But you know, in that beautiful, beautiful somewhere forever, there's going to be no crying anymore. Our little daughter, our last daughter, Shanna Faith, she cried for 19 hours straight. We couldn't do anything for her. We went to the hospital finally, and she lay there and cried for another 4 hours, total of 19 hours straight. But you know, she is gone now to the land of no more crying. No more crying. We don't have to weep anymore. We don't have to have tears anymore. This is going to be a beautiful place. Sometimes, oh, I don't know how you feel tonight. I want this to be an encouragement to you. If you are saved and if you're living for God, take courage. There's some beautiful things ahead for you. It's wonderful, this beautiful city. No crying. The heart will not break anymore. Number 4, there's no parting, no death. Death is such a cruel thing. It seems, you know, when death came and wrestled our two daughters out of our hands, right out of my wife's arms, we couldn't do anything about it. Death seemed so cruel. It came into our house twice. I had to call the funeral director twice. But you know, in that place, there is no more calling the funeral home. You know, no more parting. We'll never call him again. And you know what? We won't be lonely anymore. not lonely because we're reunited, not lonely anymore. Number five, no pain. It won't hurt anymore. Won't hurt anymore. Wheelchairs can't get through the gate. They'll be on this side. Praise the Lord. Number six, there will be no night there. No sunset anymore. Sometimes our nights are long. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. But we have burdens at times. And you know, sometimes our nights are long. And we wait for the morning. We're looking forward for the morning. Your burdens keep you from sleeping. But you know, in this land, there's going to be no night anymore. Everything is going to be beautiful, and it's always going to be, and there's no moon, and there's no sun there, because the light is coming from our Lord Himself. Beautiful. And the seventh point is, there is no end. It will never end. You know, we have beautiful times. There's been beautiful times that we've had in church life, and you've had in church life, beautiful times. But you know, sometimes some of our beautiful home life, our children following God, children finding God. Some of you have had that wonderful experience this week to see your, to lead your child and to help your child find God. Nothing more beautiful. Nothing more beautiful than a father and a son, a father and a mother, to see their son or their daughter lead them to Jesus Christ, to the feet of Jesus, crying their heart out to God, confessing their sins, and then seeing the peace through the tears. Oh, saved, born again. It's a beautiful experience. When you get there, it'll never end. This will be a beautiful time. Let me ask you a question. Is this city in your plans? Are you planning for this city? Are you planning to go? Are you planning to be there? Oh, it's beautiful. Take courage. Maybe you get discouraged sometimes. Don't be discouraged. Look ahead. Anchor your life in Christ. Walk with God. Walk with Him in a deep way. You will have difficult times through this life. But once you get there, no tears, no pain, no crying, no parting. You're not lonely anymore. It's a wonderful thing. Now let me share with you the other side. I want to now look at the lake. The lake. It's a lake of fire. I want to show you what the Bible says about this place. If you have not been born again, listen to me tonight. If you have not been born again, or you have sin in your heart, you have hidden sin in your heart, and you have a cold heart towards God, I'm going to share with you now your home. I share it with you, the home of the saints. Now I want to share your home. I want to describe it to you the way the Bible describes it. Today, if you're not ready for your forever, the Bible describes this lake, this somewhere forever, in 23 different scenes. The Bible calls it a prison. The Bible calls it a lake of fire, a devouring fire. The Bible in Revelation 20:15 says it's a bottomless pit. It's a place of tempest. The Bible calls it a horrible tempest. The Bible says it's a place where men and women wail. Matthew 24 says it's a place of weeping. The Bible says it's a place of burning. The Bible says it's a place where people curse God. It's a place of outer darkness. The Bible says it's a place where people scream for mercy. The Bible says it's a place of no repentance, never. The Bible says it's a place of no rest. The Bible says it's a place of blackness of darkness, outer darkness. In Mark 9, it says it's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The Bible says it's a place of everlasting punishment. The Bible says it's a place where their breath will be a living flame. The Bible says it's a place where murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and liars and fearful people are. The Bible says it's a lake where people will be cast alive. And finally, the Bible says in Revelation 14, it's a place where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And there are people going there. And I'm not assuming tonight that everyone that's in here is going to the city. Some of you have not made preparation. And if you haven't made preparation, this is the place where we go unless we have done something with our soul. And Jesus is here tonight. He's waiting. God forbid that I would be a preacher that would give anyone hope that they could survive hell or get away if they have sin or love sin or not been born again. The Bible says in Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. There is a literal, godless, eternal hell. I want to be clear tonight. I'm giving you a warning tonight. I'm preaching to you a very painful message. Because as I was studying for this message, I remembered some of my friends, my neighbors, cousins, uncles. I'm just not sure where they're at. But they're somewhere forever. Well, how did hell start? In Isaiah 30, verse 33, it tells us that for Tophet is ordained of old. This is speaking about hell. Yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doeth kindle it. You know, God ignited hell. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, kindled it. He's the one that ignited hell. In Revelation 1:18 it says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell. You know, Jesus is the one that has the keys to that place. He is the one that is able to unlock and lock up. And tonight, you're in the hands of God. And he can unlock or lock up. He has the keys. He locks the door under God's authority. Hell was created for the devil, the Bible says in Matthew 25. Depart from me is what he's going to say to those that are not ready, that aren't born again, that haven't made preparation, that their heart is not clean. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, hell was not prepared for anyone sitting here this evening. It was not prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil. But all those that follow him or follow his kingdom are going to end up in this place, according to the word of God. Now, where is hell? Where is hell? You know, it's not really totally clear in the scriptures where it is. However, I'm going to share with you what I see. I think, well, let me just tell you this. Two scientists from Columbia University have been studying for some time the seismic waves as earthquakes happened to try to determine what is in the center of the earth. I don't know. This globe, this world, is 7,900 miles in diameter across. There is an outer crust where we are on tonight. And then in the inner, according to their studies, this is what they claim. There is a solid inner core. And that inner core is 1,500 miles in diameter. It's a solid core, an outer crust and a solid core. Remember, 7,900 miles across. But the center portion that's solid, 1,500 miles. And what I'm sharing with you is what scientists are claiming. And then there is a liquid between the outer crust and that inner core. And according to their testing, they are telling us that it's 8,500 degrees in that liquid. I was out in Montana a month ago. We went down to Wyoming, and there we saw these little hot springs. I stood at the volcanoes in Costa Rica, the Arenal and the Poás, and I saw, and you know what I believe it is? I believe my understanding would be that hell is down here in the earth somewhere. When Korah rebelled against Moses and Aaron, and God said, "Get away, I'm going to judge them." Remember what happened? There was a hole that opened up, and fire came out of that hole, and they fell in. I don't know. 8,500 degrees, I think metal melts at 2,100 if I'm right. 8,500 degrees. You know what would happen to our bodies? We would just singe. But you know what? We're getting other bodies. I think that's one of the reasons. How could we ever be in this awful place? How could humans be in this place? Oh, that is an awful fire. 8,500 degrees. Well, what is hell like? The Bible says, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness." The Bible tells us it's going to be dark there. It's not going to be light. We often think of hell as fire, and where there's fire, there's light. But here it says that there will be outer darkness there. You know, one of the reasons why I believe it's going to be dark there? Because God is light. And this is in the total absence of God. There is no presence of God here. And it's going to be dark. And there's going to be people in this darkness. There's going to be millions of people in this darkness. They can't see anywhere. They can't see anything. It's dark. Matthew 8 tells us there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. 2 Peter 2:4 says, For if God spared not the angels that sin and cast them down to hell and delivered them unto chains of darkness, that darkness is going to be like a chain. It's going to chain us. Chain, hopefully not us. But it's going to chain people. Jude 13 says there's going to be to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness. It is going to be so dark there that you cannot see your hand. You can't see anything. You're going to bump into people, and people are going to, you can't see them. Oh, I wonder tonight, if I could ask John, where are you? Where are you, John? Oh, I'm still here. Give me water. I'm in my darkness, outer darkness. No sun, no moon, no stars. It's going to be so thick, you can feel it. Suffocating darkness, dark burning, chains of darkness, everlasting darkness. It will never quit lasting. It'll always be dark, and it'll always be in that place. There's going to be human beings, and they're always going to be there. What is hell like? Oh, the Bible says it's a bottomless pit. A bottomless pit. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, Revelation 9:2. A bottomless pit. This is going to be a place of darkness, and there's going to be no footing. You cannot get to the bottom. It's going to have no bottom. People are going to be falling. They're going to be rolling. They're going to be falling, and there's no place to get a hold of anything. It's a bottomless pit. Falling and falling and in darkness. Oh, it's one thing to fall from some 8 feet high or wherever, to fall and you can see. But imagine, think about this. People are going to be falling in darkness, and they don't know, they can't. I would think they're probably going to bump into each other. Oh, there they go. This is an awful place. The Bible says it's a lake of fire. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, 10 and 15. There the Bible is clear to us. If you have never been born again and you're not living in the new birth, you're not living for God, then you're going to spend your time here. This is your somewhere forever. The lake of fire. It's a lake of fire. Think about it. A lake where it's all fire. That's the place. Revelation 21:8 says, the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. A lake is a passive burning. But now in Revelation 13 it says, and he shall cast them into the furnace of fire. Now there's a furnace of fire. That's different than a lake of fire. A lake is a passive burning, but a furnace is a burning under pressure. There's pressure. Furnaces all have pressure. It's a dark fire. Oh, this is an awful place. My cousin called me one day, or called another brother, and said, I need help. And he called me, and we went to help him. He was living in sin. He was an ungodly person living in immorality. He would drink a lot, and he was on drugs or used drugs. And he had a vision, and he told me this himself. He said, you know, I saw hell. I saw this awful lake of fire. And he said, I saw people in there. And I said, what were they doing? He said, they were screaming. And they were crying. And they were wailing. And they were weeping. And he said, I saw their skin. And he said, the skin was bubbling. Sisters, you know how it is when you take pie filling. And you put it on, you cook pie filling. It rises up, and then finally it bursts. That's what he saw on the skin of those people. The skin, it was so hot that it would boil and then burst and then go back down again. He cried that night. He said, I don't want to ever go to that place. He repented that night. This place is a place, hell is the greatest pool of individualism that you'll ever find. Some people say, oh, well, when I get to hell, I have my buddies there. Let me tell you something. You'll never find one buddy in hell. There's no friends in hell. Friends, the very idea of friends comes from the word love. And there's no love there because God isn't there. This is in the total absence of God. And God is love. That's why it's a pool of hatred. It's an awful place. Oh, just a couple weeks ago, we had a person, I read of this person that was upset at his wife. And in his anger and in his frustration at her, he hated her. And you know what he did? He went and shot her. He killed her. And then he turned around and killed himself. Let me tell you something. Where do you think they are? Now they're both in this somewhere forever, hating each other. That's where the murderers are. That's where the people go. Some people say, well, I don't want to be in church because there's hypocrites in church. Well, you better get into the church and get your life straight with God, or you're going to spend your lifetime, all your somewhere forever with them, because hypocrites go to hell. And if you don't want to be with them, then you need to get into the church, get into the relationship with Jesus Christ. where you have a relationship, become born again and follow God. Oh, this is such a horrible place. No love in this place. No friends in this place. Because you can't have friends, because friends, they're there to help each other, right? That's where love, that's a part of love. There's no love in this place. You'll fight your own battle and you'll never win. Everyone is against you and you're against everyone. It's a falling, it's a turning, it's a burning. There's fighting, there's all kinds of hatred there. Oh, that's an awful place. And that's why I'm preaching this message tonight. I want to help everyone that's in this room tonight to never go to that place. It was painful for me to think about preaching this message tonight. But as I saw you, and I saw some of you, and I saw your young people, and I saw all of you, my heart just goes out in love to you all. You need to get your heart right. Make sure you're right with God. Don't take a risk. There was a man, he worked for a Mennonite preacher, and he got some buddies in town, and those buddies were out to serve themselves in the world, and he decided he wants to go have fun with them. And this preacher told him, he said, don't go down that road. Don't go down that road. You need to give your heart to God. He said, I want to live it up. When I get older, I'm going to follow God. 17-year-old boy, 16 days later, he died in his own car, had a car crash. Don't waste your time. There's a reason that God is speaking to us tonight. You know, this is a pool of hatred. There's no love in this place, no friends. Let me tell you a story. There was a man that some of you would know. He was a church leader. The person that took his place told me this story himself. He said all of a sudden something went wrong with this leader. Oh, I remember him. He used to get up behind the pulpit. He was in our church one time, and I remember that he preached on heaven and hell. A tremendous message. He was a preacher that would... There was something about his preaching that was moving. One day he did something that took him down a wrong road. And you know what he did? He left the church. He got up one morning in council. He told his fellow ministers, this is the last day. And he left the church. He left his wife and his children, beautiful family. He started running around with other women, got into music, even had a bar at one time. And he would often go out to make music with his guitar, go out and make music in the bars. Oh, people would talk to him. I remember a man, one of the evangelists that you know, one of the last times there was a funeral, he walked with him down to the funeral, down to the graveyard, and he asked him this question, when are you going to change your ways and get ready for your forever? He said, I know. I'll do it someday. But you know, one Saturday night, he was in a little town and he was in the bar and he was singing songs with his guitar and people loved him. And he was in there, walked out of there, got into his car, started down the road, didn't go more than a mile, and somehow lost control, went into the ditch, hit a pole, lay in the hospital, and died, I think, 2 days later. Oh, he was warned again and again and again. But my question tonight is, where are you? He's somewhere forever. At that funeral, one of the ministers preached a powerful message about getting ready and about hell and this awful place where people go that aren't ready. A lot of his Harley friends were there. A lot of his people, women and men were there in that service. And this preacher was preaching about how that we need to get saved or we're going to go to a Christless grave and an awful hell. And when They had the viewing. The ministry was sitting up here, and they had the body up front here. And those people started coming. Big, big funeral. And some of his friends started coming. One of the men came up here on the platform, and he looked at that preacher, and he said, Where did you get that message? Saying that this person is lost and is in hell. He just held up his Bible and didn't say anything more. He said, if that's where he's at, I want to go there too. I'm his friend. We're going to have a good time there. But let me tell you something, friends. You're going to be all alone if you get to hell. All alone. God is going to leave you and never come looking for you. And your friends are not going to be there. You can't even see them. It's a dark burning. It's an awful place. Oh, this is an awful thing. There's pain and torment. This is, the Bible says in Mark 9, it's an unquenchable fire. No fire extinguishers in hell. You can never extinguish this place. The Bible also says it's a place where there is fire and brimstone. Revelation 14, 10 and 11, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they had no rest day and night. John, where are you? Oh, I'm still here. Give me water. Give me water. I was standing at the volcano Poas. You know what brimstone is? It's sulfur. Did you ever get a whiff of sulfur? You can't breathe. You can't breathe in sulfur. We were standing in at the volcano Poas in Costa Rica. Me and some other brethren, we were standing there looking in. And it was a clear day, and we could look in. And we could see way down in the crater, we could see this yellow cloud coming out. But we were a long ways off. And all of a sudden, the wind shifted, and we got a whiff of that. And we were choking, and we couldn't breathe. We started running, and the whole crew, everyone started running. You can't breathe in it. And now the Bible says that there's a place here where there's going to be brimstone, sulfur. We can't breathe. You can't stand anywhere. You're falling. It's a bottomless pit. It's fire. It's hot. And you know, you're choking. You can't breathe. Oh, it's an awful place. And there will be, the Bible says, there is no rest in this place. And they have no rest day and night. You know, tonight you're planning to go to bed. Last night, remember how you lay in your bed. No beds in hell. Feels so good to lay down after the day's work, but there's no beds here. And there's no mercy. There's no one to help you. No hope, no help. In Luke chapter 16, you know the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Oh, the rich man, he found himself in this place. Verse 24, it says, and he cried for mercy. Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and sent Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Let me ask you, what are you going to give in exchange for your soul tonight? What are you hanging on? Why are we not coming to God? Are we really willing to risk our life, to lose it, and to end up here? You know, this rich man, he didn't even ask for a bucket of water. It seems to me I would have asked for the hose, or I would ask for a bucket of water. Bring me 5 gallons of water. But you know what? He didn't. All he said, all I want. He said, I just want one drop to come and put it on my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Oh, that must be an awful thing. You know, I don't know, but I wondered sometimes, could it be that those sins that took us down the road away from God are the parts of our members that are going to have greater torment? Why the tongue? Why is the tongue so hot? Maybe it's because of how we talked. Maybe it's because of how we lived. I don't know. Well, are there sounds in hell? Matthew 22:13 says, Then shall the king say to his servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Some of the sounds in hell are going to be the teeth are going to start chattering together in the flames and the fire in this awful, awful heat. Chattering together. What an awful thing. Matthew 13 says, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Did you ever hear wailing? Where people were wailing, not even weeping anymore, just wailing and wailing and wailing. Wouldn't that be an awful thing? I remember a time when I went to calling hours of a man that committed suicide. And when I got close to the house, I could hear the wailing of the children and the family. Oh, you know what? That was an awful feeling, an awful eeriness, just to hear them. I would have wanted to just turn around and not go inside that house. And here you have thousands and millions of souls wailing and weeping, and it's dark and you can't see, and you're falling, and it's hot. Oh, this is an awful place. My friends, tonight, are we going to take the risk to end up in this awful place? And here stands Jesus with his hands out. See, one of the reasons I believe that Jesus was so willing to come, where Jesus sat, he could see hell. He knows how hot it is. He knows the awful misery there. And when he saw us walking down through time, and he saw man dropping into over the cliff into this place, Jesus was so willing. I don't know what the conversation was, but maybe he said, just let me go. I want to go help them. They don't know where they're going. They don't understand this horrible place. Jesus could see it from heaven. You know, we sit here tonight, we don't know. I'm trying to describe to you what the Bible says about this. Not my opinion, it's the Bible. And here stands Jesus, and he's saying, wouldn't you give your heart to me? I'm going to keep you from this place. I'm going to take you to a beautiful city. Oh, but I'd like to continue with my life. I like to enjoy myself. I don't want you now. I'll get you later, but I don't want you now. If any of you make it to hell, there's another horrible thing about hell, and that is that there is a memory in hell. I believe in Mark 9, where it tells us, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Mark chapter 9. If your hand offends you, cut it off. It is better for thee to go into life maimed and have two hands and go to hell. Into the fire that shall never be quenched. It'll never go out. This is a fire that no fire department will ever extinguish. And then it says, where the worm, their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Their worm, notice that. The word worm there, I believe, is talking about the gnawings of remorse. People in hell have a keen memory. And I believe they're going to have times. And let me just, there's going to be times when they have scenes. Sitting in church, they see the scene. And let me just tell you what I believe. I believe if anyone in this room is going to make it to hell, there's going to be times when you're going to get a flashback. And you're going to be able to see this church again. You're going to be able to see this Sunday night again. You're going to be able to hear the preaching. You're going to be able to see, and the call is given. And oh, you're ready. You're just ready to come. Oh, there's hope again. This was a dream. It's like a dream. Oh, you're ready to, there's hope. And you're just ready to respond, and then it's dark again. Remorse, remorse, remorse. Why was I so concerned about what my friends think? Why wasn't I willing to walk down that aisle and go to the prayer room? Why didn't I? And then there's weeping and weeping and weeping. The reason I'm sharing this with you tonight, 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I'm trying to persuade you tonight to really look at your heart, look at your soul, and look at these somewhere forever. You're going to be somewhere forever. You cannot go into oblivion. You cannot go into nothing. You will not do like the dogs or like the cats. You're going to be somewhere forever. And the choice is yours tonight. Let me talk to you. If you're here tonight, you're a sinner. And you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ. You've never been born again. I want to talk to you in these last minutes. You are held by God. God has a hold of your life. Your life is not your own. You're held by God over this precipice. And God is provoked with you because you've been hearing him talk. You've been hearing his voice. You're already sentenced. God already has sentenced you. But you know what? It's only his mercy that is holding you yet. That's why you're still here tonight. God is under no obligation to let go and let you drop into that horrible lake of fire. The devil is waiting. Hell is gaping, trying to get you. Just like a hungry wolf, waiting. You're above it, and God is holding you. That world of misery is below you. That lake of burning is under you. Your wickedness is making you so heavy as lead. And if God lets go, that's where you go. But you know, tonight, God is still waiting. Jesus is still here. And he's here tonight. What are you going to do? Are you going to say no to Jesus tonight and take the risk of actually losing your life and being lost? You know, tonight, we need to look at our hearts. We need to look at our life. Oh, I will be somewhere forever. You have no guarantee that you have one more day on planet Earth. We might not even wake up in the morning. We might never go to bed tomorrow night. We need to deal with this. In closing, I want to read a poem. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comforts of home, music and song. No fellowship of joy will be found in that throng. No children to brighten the long, weary night. No love, nor peace, nor one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with face beaming bright. No loving smile in that region of night. No mercy, no pity, pardon, nor grace. No water, oh God, what a terrible place. The pangs of the lost no human can tell. Not one moment's peace, there is no rest in hell. Hell, the prison house of despair, here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone are there, we know, for God in his word hath told us so. Memory, remorse, suffering and pain, weeping and wailing, but all in vain. Blasphemers, swears, haters of God, Christ rejectors while here on earth trod. Murderers, backsliders, cold Christians and liars will have their part in the lake of fire. The filthy, the vile, the cruel and mean, what a horrible mob in hell will be seen. Yes, more than humans on earth can tell are torments and woes of eternal hell. We will all be somewhere forever. Let's sing.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's watching and waiting, waiting for
close of this service, and God, our hearts are so moved as we look at forever. And Lord Jesus, tonight I pray that you would just speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be sure tonight. And Lord, if our hearts are filthy, if our life is wrong, if the sin is still there in that closet and locked in, if we have never been born again, oh God, tonight, save us from this awful place. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would meet our needs. You're calling us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.